Good morning. As we've been going through a series in the book of Romans, last week we saw Paul's anguish for his people, Israel. For though they have the knowledge right at their doorstep, they did not know the truth. And as much as Paul is excited to see the ongoing work and extension of God's people into all nations, he has a heart for his own people. And what also adds to his anguish is that he should have been the first and foremost to be rejected from God's grace because he was the persecutor of Christians. And yet God uses him mightily for his glory. God used his life as a witness to see that no one is too far away from God's grace. All this is culminated on this one very central entity that brings out the salvation work of Jesus Christ to all nations, and that is the word of faith which saves. In today's message, I want to address two dimensions here. One is I want to address the dimension of the past, in that I want us to witness and see how we, the church, the people of God, are neither the replacement of Israel, because Israel still has a purpose and place in God's will, but nor are we second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. We are very, very much the agency of God's good news to all nations. And that's why we have people from all over the world, from Korea, from China, from Vietnam, from Cambodia, going to places like Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, London, United States. Yes, they need the gospel too. Lord knows, this month alone reminds us how much the Western world needs Jesus. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, please talk to your young people and ask them about Juneteenth. They will know what that means. No idea? Month of June is declared among the LGBT community to be the month to declare LGBT pride. The Swatch watches that were coming into Malaysia was actually in preparation for that season. And for us to not know what that is to have us be ignorant of the realities of the corruption of what's going on in this world today. Do I hate the LGBT community? No, I don't. I love them with all my heart. I dedicated 2 to 3 months of my life deep in the areas of Pattaya, where we were ministering to the LGBT community and to the Ladyboy ministry under O.M. Dulos. How they are broken, and how even after they did all the transitions that they thought they needed, they still felt like taking their own lives. And then we offer them the good news of Jesus Christ, which then makes them entirely whole. I hate the agenda, because the agenda brings out a perversion into the world. And for those of us who may have an issue with that, well, here draws the line. And here's the line that we must toe for the cause of the gospel of Christ. But I want to talk about how we are not second-class citizens. None of us are. It's not people of Israel, then only Christians. But actually, Christians and the people of God are simultaneously the one and the same adopted in Christ Jesus. Because now even the Jews requires to see the righteousness in Christ. Second, I want to address this false ministry that is called the Word of Faith ministry. There is a ministry out there called the Word of Faith ministry, where people are claiming that if you were to proclaim in the name of Jesus by faith, you can get your wealth, you can get your health, you can get your relationships. And it has poisoned so many people. I'm going through with a couple right now who, when they are involved in these sorts of churches and ministries that proclaims this Word of Faith ministry, they step away from chemotherapy when they need it for their cancer. They go away, they step away from any sort of Western therapy because they say, all this is poison. We should look into alternative medicine. And all these are prescribed, not by doctors at all. And they say, and now they even come to a point when surgery is actually required. They say, don't worry, Pastor, I prayed all night and my whole congregation has prayed. We're going for an ultrasound again later. Maybe the cancer has shrunk down and therefore no need to do surgery anymore. I'm like, what? Then of course they'll throw the question back at me, Pastor, don't you believe that God heals? And the answer is yes, I believe God heals. I believe God heals also through doctors. I believe God heals also through medicine. I believe God heals for His purpose and glory. So what therefore is the true word of faith? What is the word of faith which saves? Let me read to you Romans chapter 10, the whole chapter. I believe the word of God ought to be read publicly in the church. And I hope, pray that you would join with me as well. So turn into your Bible apps, Romans chapter 10, verses 1 to 21. Your Bible app, your physical Bible. And if you don't have one, please share with the Christian next to you or the brother and sister next to you. And if you need a physical copy, please feel free to raise up your hand and the ushers will find the Bible among the pews for you. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 to 21. Let's hear what the Holy Scripture says. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend to the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Praise you, O God. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I have found by those who did not seek me. I have revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long, I have held up my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, this day we exalt your name, not all the name, but the name of Jesus, who is worthy of honor, who is worthy of glory, who is worthy of power and all praise. Lord, we give you praise for the continuing work of your good news that goes on to the ends of the earth. And we give you thanks for the good news that is now given to us in this church. We ask, O Lord, that your Holy Spirit will manifest in us the reality of your grace and the magnitude of your glory that can be displayed through our lives into the ends of the earth. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you. O Lord, my God, my rock, my Savior, my Redeemer, in Jesus' name, amen. What is the word of faith which saves? There are plenty of words of faith out there. And the scary thing about the word of faith in today's modern society is they disregard the word of God. They falsely divide that there are two kinds of God's word. One is logos, which is the written word, and rhema, that is the word that is freely given out by his Holy Spirit. Let me first and foremost tell you that these two are one and the same. For God's word unto us through his Holy Spirit will always be anchored in his logos. And so anything that is too far out of reach from his word or away from the gradient or away from the or is off tangent of the word of God is quite certainly not of God. So how can we see what is the word of faith which saves? The Apostle Paul in his passage here actually gives us some direction. The word of faith which saves is first and foremost founded on God's righteousness. The word of faith which saves is founded on God's righteousness. Paul starts in Romans chapter 10 saying that how his heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. And I want to impress upon us today that there are some of us here who are called to save a people group. We are called, all of us, to save a nation. We are called to save loved ones. It may not necessarily be the people that we naturally thought would be those that we are being called to. Because Paul did not know he was going to be called to the Gentiles, and yet here he is. And while he is reaching out to the Gentiles, he also has in his heart a prayer that Israel may one day be saved. Now he has this confidence in two ways. One is that there are other people in the ministry in helping to save the people of Israel. The other side of it is that as long as the word of faith, which is based on God's righteousness, as long as that is proclaimed, people will always have a chance. And therefore, it should always be our prayer that that God's word of faith will continue to spread to all nations, and especially to people whom we love dearly, but we cannot seem to break the border or barrier, maybe cultural, age gap, maybe our relationship is too close, or maybe the other guys have come to a point where they say, boy, no matter what, I've eaten more salt than you eat rice, I cannot take this truth on you because I don't know how well tested your gospel is. We've all heard this before, right? I've had relatives who I never would have thought have heard the gospel. Never. But because of the faithfulness of prayer and the faithfulness of God, the word of faith which saves came into his life. And I was very blessed to have him as one of my schoolmates in MBTS. Him getting a diploma in Christian studies, end up becoming a pastor in his later years. And even as he was stricken with cancer, he became the message of hope to his community. a very different life compared to what he was before. But none of us could have gone through his stubborn head because we were his relatives. But thanks be to God, he continued to pray. And it just takes another person to come and be that messenger of God's righteousness. What is God's righteousness? God's righteousness is basically Jesus. We see in verses 2-4, I can testify that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is based on knowledge. Let me pause here for those of us in Pantai Baptist Church. I think that's quite a telling thing for us. Salvation is not by going through multiple seminars. Salvation does not come from attending every single fellowship. Salvation comes from knowing the culmination of the law that is in Christ Jesus. Now, is it useful to attend courses? Yes. Is it useful to attend ministries? Yes. But what for? Not for your salvation, but that you may be that very agency of salvation to others, that your witness may bear for fruit of his goodness. Let me read to you verse 3. Since they did not know the righteousness of God or sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. And then verse 4, Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness before everyone who believes. So long ago, people thought that only if you follow all of the law, then you may have a chance to enter into God's glory. Christ comes into the picture and he said, I have not come to abolish the law, I have come to fulfill it. And now his righteousness is imputed into us. And so whenever God sees us, he sees Christ. And whenever he sees Christ, he sees the debt of our sins paid. SPM results came out this week. Let me ask you this question. How would you feel if you were to go and get your SPM results? All of you. Okay, so yeah, SPM level, or what was before SPM? Cambridge, what? NCE. And then before that? Is anyone who got it before that? School certificate, right? The one that was the one that is stamped by His Majesty King George the VI. Okay, let's say you all go to your old schools lah, Chung Ling lah, Chung Hua lah, Pui Chai lah, Bukit Aman, Bukit Bintang Boys School, Penang Free School. You go back to your schools, and your SPM results when you got it is the highest results of the highest of the number one student in your class. You know it's not your grades. You know it's not the grades that you deserve. But somehow or another, you got the same results as the top student in your school. How would you feel? Let me be honest. Okay? This is me. Okay? Shamedly, unashamedly, with 2 A's, 3 B's, and 1 C, and that 1 C is in moral. There are two feelings that I will feel. Number one is, yay! Because then my life is no longer dictated by the results, which is based on a careless lifestyle that I had when I was a teenager. That my trajectory need not be because of this silly piece of paper. One. Number two, of course, even though I only got a C in moral, I still have some ethics lah, huh? I ask the question, oh God, is that fair? Is it fair? The answer is no, it's definitely not fair. But you know what? Thank God it's unfair. Because it is by His grace. Grace, by definition, is not fair. Grace, by definition, is receiving what you don't deserve. And therefore, the very nature of God's grace is it's not fair. And the more I realize that I have this new life because of this fabricated piece of paper, thanks to, I believe the highest grade student in my school was Mr. Ganesh Vaniswaran. Ganesh, right? Yeah. Yeah. Pan Wong was in my school then. Yeah. Ganesh. So I got Ganesh results. And therefore, I don't need to get stuck in art stream or get stuck in some sort of liberal arts degree. I could get a new life. And the more I realize it is unfair, the more I must treasure it. The more I better not screw it up. That is Christ, the culmination in your life. The more we realize that without Christ, we have screwed it. We have made a terrible mess of our lives. And yet somehow Christ became the culmination, so just that we believe in Him, we may be healed and fully saved in Him. I better take all my effort to make sure that I appreciate it all the days of my life. Now I can only think about this in retrospective. But if I were to have the same results as Mr. Ganesh, I would still go to MBTS and get my degree in theology, because certainly his life, the life of Christ, is certainly worth living and in fact dying for. I wonder if that's the same for you. Is your faith founded in God's righteousness? Not your own works. Your works are tainted with sin. But is it first founded in the righteousness of God that has given you all A's, even in the subjects that you don't like, so you may live this new life in Him? And is that new life because of His grace? The word of faith which saves, therefore, is founded in God's righteousness. It is based on the fact that God has already saved first. The word of faith that is out there will always come back. They're worse than direct salespeople, for health supplements especially. You know? You're better already. Yeah. Oh, thank God. Thankfully, the health supplements was good. Oh, you're still sick. You didn't take enough health supplements. Where's your faith? You took so much health supplements and then you got worse. Overdose. You took too much. Take less. These guys are people who do that to the gospel. You're still sick? Where's your faith? You're getting worse? Still, where's your faith? You're getting better? Thank God, your faith. What kind of life is that? What kind of judgment is put upon you? And what about those? We're too quick to forget. What about those 3 years ago who went by faith to go and reach out and care for the poor community when COVID relief could not be given to them immediately? The Christian community has lost at least 20 pastors due to COVID. The first five was in the first year, because no matter what, they went into the communities that needed that help, maybe in food aid, because suddenly everything locked down, there's no money. Many of them were living day to day. And so they still went into these communities, just wearing a simple face mask and giving food aid, money aid, talking with landlords for an extension for a moratorium. A lot of funerals recently. Moratorium on their rent. And because of that, they got the COVID before the vaccine and they could not make it and then they died. Ask any of these Word of Faith people. Did they lack faith? No. It's because of their faith that they saw the work of God finished on the cross and they saw that their life on earth is merely the beginning of His glory. And when they pass on, they now see the full glory of His majestic love. The word of faith which saves is founded on God's righteousness. What is your faith founded on? Is it on your efforts? Is it on your works? Is it on the tithing? Or is it on the trust fund? Or is it on the simple fact that you entrusted your life to Christ? How do we do that? The word of faith which saves is founded on God's righteousness. The word of faith which saves is framed in clear conviction. We see in verses 5 to 13, I won't read the whole thing, but I want us to appreciate it even from afar a few things. Number one is, do you notice how much Old Testament is being quoted in the whole book, in whole chapter 10? You see, Paul, what he is doing is, he is trying to show through the letter in Rome of how much God's righteousness in Jesus Christ is not something that is fabricated out of thin air, but it's actually been long time in the Old Testament and therefore long time in the plan of God. It has been framed in a very clear conviction which God has for His people, and all we need to do is reciprocate the same to Him. He starts with a very ironic verse, Leviticus 18, verse 5, which you can see in Romans 10, verse 5. It says, Moses writes about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. Do you know why I find that ironic? Any teenager who has read through Leviticus before will forever remember what Leviticus 18 is all about. Anybody knows? I see John Thomas snickering already. I'm sure you know one. I'm sure you remember one. Leviticus 18 has everything to do with sexual relations. And so if you're a teenager who's curious about what the Bible says about sexuality, take a look at Leviticus 18. It discusses things in explicit detail. Now, let me say, this verse in some way or another has been quoted many, many times in all of the Leviticus. You follow my word, you follow my words, you seek to obey it, I am the Lord. Follow my words, seek to obey it, I am the Lord. What Paul is trying to do is, he's looking at that verse and saying, my goodness, you are using this verse, and you're using it wrong entirely. Because the people of Israel thought, I must follow these words and obey them so that I may enter myself into heaven. But they forget, in Leviticus 18 verse 5, it does not only say the person who does these things will live by them, it actually says the person who does these things will live by them, I am the Lord. Meaning the more we follow the law, the more we realize, oh God, I need your help. Then Paul reminds them, hey, guys, don't forget what Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30 is the big picture of the nation of Israel. It is the whole purpose and goal. It is the rukun negara of Israel. Okay? The Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adai Yechad. Hear, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, in Deuteronomy 6. Okay, that is a statement of faith. It's a constitutional statement, for sure. But the vision, the rukun negara for Israel is actually found in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And here's what Paul writes to remind us. He says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven or who will descend into the deep. Basically, Moses is telling them, the vision that God has for you is so great, it's so big, it looks impossible. But don't you dare say, therefore it's impossible, therefore don't bother. Because it's impossible, don't bother doing it. No, no, no. Moses says, don't think, who will go to heaven to get it? Or who will go down to the deep to find it? Uh-uh. Moses reminds them, by the way, the hope and fulfillment of all these things is in you. In verse 8, the word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. The gospel has been given to us clearly and nearly for all these years so that we may easily receive it and therefore readily believe. Then comes the beauty of the memory verse for many of us and how we first receive Christ, right? Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. Therefore, you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that that God had raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Or you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith in Jesus and are saved. The word of faith which saves is from a very clear conviction, that our salvation is purely on the belief that Jesus Christ has died for our sins. God raised him from the dead. Therefore, it symbolizes the death in the death of Jesus Christ and the payment of the penalty of sin given by his blood for us. The Word of Faith movement, which is going on in various churches today, when they say, where's your faith, where's your faith? They're very vague about the faith. Just believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus as your healer. Lord, you heal, Lord, you heal, Lord, you heal. And then hopefully you get better. You know? And it's almost like, their faith is like a telco button keypad. For healing, press Jesus is healer. For wealth, press Jehovah Jireh. For victory, press Jehovah Nisi. Right? The very nature of God is all of that in one. And it is not something that is naturally reactionary to all, meaning God is not a machine that you can, that he just simply dispense Diet Coke, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jesus is healer, and so on and so forth. There are no 99 buttons, no, it's a relationship. And the relationship is based on this clear conviction that Jesus Christ is first and foremost my Savior. So therefore, whether my life expires early or later in this life, it doesn't matter because my eternity is secured in Him. Only then it makes sense. In verse 11, Scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. For those people who are in that kind of word of faith movement, they will always end up being put to shame because they always end up trying to hide the testimonies of these people who followed, and after 15 years of prayer, they still died because of that sickness. Or after 6 months of not responding to any therapy or not taking any sort of therapy or intervention, they died. My goodness, how can this be? Because they put Christ to shame by framing him in a situation which God wanted to do something otherwise. God never wants to give us hope for this world. God wants to give us hope for his kingdom. The framework is much bigger. And it starts with the Lordship of Jesus Christ as head of this church, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and ruler of all nations. That is why for us, when we pray for our Prime Minister, Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim, we know by faith that it will come to fruition in accordance to his will. Because first and foremost, regardless of what happened to our government, Jesus Christ is still Lord. And there is where our foundation, there is where our parameter, there is where is our frame of clear conviction. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Here's the great equalizer. Verse 12, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. This will cause great excitement for the Gentiles, but also head-scratching for the Jews. Remember the illustration earlier? On one hand, my side will be, I'm undeserving of it, and yet I got it, thank God. But how would Mr. Ganesh feel? He would feel, hey, yeah, it's unfair, lah. I worked the hardest, I studied the most, I'm naturally gifted in the skill set. You know, I got the grades. How come everyone got the same? Now, thankfully, I do know Mr. Ganesh to be a lot more charitable person than that. He would say, you know what? If you got those grades because of an error, he would then say, take advantage of it and may the best man win in the field. He went on to be a successful businessman, doing a few ventures, and we still connect once in a while through Facebook. To the Gentiles, he's giving them hope. To the Jews, he's asking for charity because God had given them charity all the days of their lives. And don't worry, just because I got the same grace as Ganesh doesn't mean Mr. Ganesh doesn't get any opportunity because I got the same grades. No, he went on and did successful things. The world is bigger. Same thing for the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the Gentiles were enabled to be gospel proclaimers to the ends of the earth, it doesn't mean the Jews were taken aside. But the Jews were reminded of the charity of God is so prominent, he gives not only to Jews but the Gentiles. That doesn't mean that the Jews were excluded. It means that the Jews still has a chance in the field of his goodness. And it became a very simple thing. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whose name are you calling upon to save you? Whose name are you hoping to be your salvation? Is it please China bonds go back up in interest rates? Or is it Jesus, I put my trust in you, and in you I shall be saved? This I can say with all certainty. And the certainty is so great that not only is it founded on God's righteousness, that is Jesus, not only that it's framed in clear conviction that you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead and you are saved, for those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It therefore fires up proclamation. It becomes so easy for people to receive the good news of Jesus Christ. Because last time, you had to learn this much of the Bible to know about him. The Jewish community, especially the Orthodox Jews, from young at 3-4 years old, they'll go to little Jewish schools and they start reading the law. They'll go from the Torah to the Talmud and to all the rabbinic and to all the rabbinic writings. And maybe, just maybe, after reading all that, God will find favor upon them. Paul himself had gone through that sort of school, seated at the feet of Gamaliel, and was in one of the greatest schools of Hebraic and Greek thought. It took Jesus Christ for him to reframe everything. And the natural reaction for him to realize this truth is, he went out to proclaim. Friends, until today, this proclamation is so much needed today. Verses 14 and 15, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the conviction of every missionary. But I'm here to tell you now, the Apostle Paul was not doing a recruitment drive for missionaries in this passage. He was making a set of rhetorical questions for the church to respond. And therefore, it falls on us, the local church, to be the agency to solve this problem and be that beautiful feet that brings good news. Now, some of you may ask, how can we do anything? It starts with one. One's heart in conviction. There is a brother, Adam, not his real name. From Sabah, God called him very clearly to go into the jungles, in Peninsula Malaysia. He only knows, well, actually, he knows quite a lot of languages. Four languages: Dusun, Bahasa, Kadazan, or Murut, actually, Murut, and sprinkles of the dialect that is in Semenanjung, because he had a friend from there. He went into this village, did not know how to share the good news to them. So the first thing he did was, he spoke to them in BM. It wasn't reaching to their heart. So in the end, he decided to seek permission, build a house in their village, and live with them for 2 years. And in that, he became the agency of medical help, of teaching and education, when there's a fight or when there is a conflict within or between two villages, he became the mediator. And after 2-3 years, that village came to know Christ. And after that village came to know Christ, he thought that he could mobilize them to go and reach out to the other villages around them. But that's when he found a problem. He realized that even though the village is just 20, 30 meters away on the other side of the hill, the dialect is entirely different. So it's like, oh dear Lord, what am I going to do? Every village is a different dialect. And so he decided to start with one. He asked the village by relationship, someone's cousin married, second cousin once removed on mother's side, and they're connected, all these villages, right? Come together to a city, to a town. I will teach you Bahasa. I'll teach you to read and write. I'll teach you to read God's word. And I'll teach you the very simple message of the gospel. By the second year, after they learned Bahasa, they then learned the simple message of the good news. They went back into their hometown villages. And within 3 years, 15 villages, no, sorry, 5 more villages came to know Christ as Lord and Savior. 5 villages, people. And it started with one. And then they realized that, oh, there are other villages that they were married into and they have different dialects and so on and so forth. Okay, let me find them. 20 years down the road, 16 villages came to know the Lord, and it only started with one. And by the way, friends, you may think this is not real, but we are one of the main supporters of this effort. How can they believe if they have not heard? How can they hear if no one goes to them? And therefore, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Look at your feet right now. Take a look at your feet. All in there, size 5 to size 11 glory. Tell your feet right now. Feet. I can't hear you. Feet. Come on, speak to your feet. Feet. You're supposed to be beautiful. Feet. You are beautiful, for you will bring good news. Now let these feet be the transporters of the good news. Wherever you go, wherever you are, wherever you're on holiday, if you have 17 hours in the plane, guess what? 34 opportunities to share the gospel, because it only takes 30 minutes at any given time. And if you're too shy about that, aim a little closer. Or if you're still too shy about that, go a little further. Speak to our mission board and join us in one of them. And then you can see how beautiful your feet can be, because it brings out the fruition of many, many more souls to know the Lord. It's founded on God's righteousness, it's framed in clear conviction, it fires up proclamation, and it is firm in God's faithfulness. This part of the passage is a little complicated, but let me try and keep it as simple as possible. Paul is still grappling the idea that even though the Israelites have the whole library of God's righteousness, they still could not see that the righteousness is in Christ Jesus. But you know what? In due time, because Paul then quotes Isaiah, "Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." Did they not hear? Paul says, of course they did. And then he quotes from Psalm chapter 19, "The voice has gone out into all the earth, the words to the ends of the world." From the Old Testament timer, Israel is supposed to be the beacon of salvation for the whole world. They have failed in that, and so that Christ can become the true beacon of our hope. And then did Israel not understand? Because Moses said, "I will make you envious by those who are not a nation, and I'll make you angry by a nation that has no understanding." Meaning, they will be the envy of all the world. And were they? Yes. Are they? Still yes. Israel, so much is in your favor. Truly, you can see how favorable God is, how gracious God is, and how mighty your Messiah Jesus is. As that last line, they still cannot accept. And they are a stubborn people. As one who follows a number of ex-Jews, now Christians, actually that you cannot be an ex-Jew, Jewish Christians who found the gospel of Jesus, he himself admits that we are a stubborn people. We are a rainbow of stubborn people. You have the liberal Jews who don't care about the word at all. You have the Orthodox Jews who cares about the word so much that they believe that only that word can save. And then you have the fundamental Jews that says that no one else but their group can save. They became their own Messiah. And all of them are stubborn people. And of course, Paul will be saying, oh God, will you ever give up on them one day? To which then, this is what Paul reminds the people of. Isaiah boldly says in verse 20, "I found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me." Basically, he's talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about us. As long as more of us come to know the Lord, therefore, As long as Gentiles come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Jews will always have that open opportunity. And God's faithfulness will continue on because concerning Israel, in verse 21, concerning Israel, concerning the nation that crucified their Savior, concerning the nation that rejected their salvation, concerning their nation that beheaded and tortured and tormented the first disciples of Jesus, here's what God has to say about them in verse 21. All day long, to these disobedient and obstinate people, I held up my hand. Held up, not hold up. We Asians, we know the difference, right? Okay? All day long, I held out my hands, not hold up my hand. Hold up my hand, get ready for a slap. All day long, I held up my hand. And until today, his hand is held out to you. His hand is held out to the nation of Israel. And as long as he is faithful to his people in the coming days, and we will see more of that next week in Romans 11. But in the meantime, let me say this to you. Have you taken his hand? His hand is still out for you. His hand is still held out for you and your loved ones, no matter how obstinate, no matter how disobedient they are. Don't believe me? Ask my dad. Don't believe me? Look at the testimony of our family. Until today, my dad and I cannot believe, wow, my eldest uncle came to know the Lord, and my eldest uncle came to know the Lord as Savior and became my schoolmate in seminary. It's such a blissful thought. Because he is the very definition of Jews, disobedient and obstinate person. But yet, not only he became a pastor, his daughter became a pastor. And not only his daughter became a pastor, his grandson is now taking part-time lessons in MBTS. Because his hand is still held out and he will never put it down until it is time for us to go home. Speaking of which, let me conclude it in this way. God's faithfulness, my dear friends, has been very, very clear throughout the entire Bible. So much so that Paul quotes exhaustively so many Old Testament verses that even the Jews cannot deny that truly Jesus is the culmination of God's faithfulness and righteousness. Now, you can go back and tell your friends, young people especially, these woke people who always looks at the evil and distraughtness in the Bible. I cannot believe in a God that allows so much evil. Look at your Bible. It records so much evil and unrest and undone in his eyes, for God's sake. Well, you don't believe in him, so why are you talking about his sake? Right? One. But the other thing is this. There is a difference between a prescriptive declaration and a descriptive narration. The Bible doesn't necessarily mean that all these are God's decrees. In fact, the Bible is actually first and foremost a record of God's faithfulness despite all our iniquity, despite all our evil. You want to see evil? It's all in here. And the more you see the evil in humanity, and yet God is still willing to say that I am your God, you are my people, the more therefore we realize that God's grace and mercy is boundless. So friends, where is your righteousness founded on? I hope it's in Jesus. How is it framed? I hope it's merely in the simple fact that Jesus is your Savior, and in that your life will be different because of Him. How fired up is it? So much so that I cannot wait to proclaim it to those who I love dearly, and even to strangers and people that I hate. Because all of us, we were once hated by God so much, and yet He loves us to a point that we can be called His children through His Son. And finally, where is your firm foundation? Is your firm foundation purely on your works? Purely on your goodness? No. They're like a house built on the sand. Build your house on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Let that be your firm establishment for many more generations to come to know Christ. And one day, all of God's people will be brought together in one banner, and that's where we can see the true word of faith that saves. And what is that true word of faith? That Jesus is Lord, and that He's been risen again. All glory and honor go to Him. May God be praised. Let us pray. Most merciful God and Heavenly Father, we thank You that just as the Apostle Paul anguished over the people of Israel, You too are sorrowful over the stubborn and disobedient people that is Israel. But really, O God, their stubbornness is basically the reflection of all of us. Our obstinance, our disobedience, our rebellious nature. Lord, we praise You because we receive the results of Your Son Jesus, and that is eternal life from the cross and the empty tomb. We know it's unfair. We don't deserve it. But God, You've given it to us by grace. Lord, teach us that we may use that new life given to us in Jesus faithfully, obediently. Renew us, O Lord, through Your Holy Spirit, that we will live the life that is worthy of Your righteousness because You have already given to us. We have nothing to prove, O God, save the gracious work of Jesus in our lives. And so we pray that we will live that day by day. Lord, remind us, O Lord, when doubts come our way, that our firm framework is not in traditions or cultures, catechism or constitution, that is not in any framework of merit, but it's purely in the framework that starts first and foremost with You, Jesus, in proclaiming that You are Lord, and that You have been risen from the dead, and therefore eternal life is secured in You. And from there, we may explode dynamically to the ends of the earth. Lord, we praise You for the faithfulness of people who bring forth good news. From those in the past, like William Carey, David Livingston, Your apostles, and even to modern day missionaries like Adam. We pray that we too will bear feet that bring forth Your good news, and we will count them as beautiful. And Lord, we thank You that Your hand is extended out to us, out to help rather than up to judge. You hold it out so that many more others may grasp it when they are drowning in their sin. And for those of us who believe, we now hold tightly and lovingly and be held in the arms of the everlasting Savior. Lord, for those among us, even those who are online, if you have yet to receive, if you have not grasped that hand of Jesus, I pray that you do that now by the power of the Holy Spirit and say, Lord Jesus, Son of God, be my Savior, be my Lord. I hold out my hand. I reach out for yours, oh God. Thank you that you have saved my life. This I pray and know by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer, if you know that to be true into your hearts, know this, my dear friends, as long as you hold tightly to the hand of God, He is faithful to redeem and save you in Jesus Christ. Speak to someone. If you're online, personal message somehow. I would like to know more about Jesus. And for those among us here, I know at first we said that we were regulars, but I also see some new faces. Or maybe because I can't remember all of your faces. But let me challenge you this. If you pray that prayer and saying that I want to hold anew to the conviction of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, tell that to your friend, tell that to a leader in this church so that we may guide you in discipleship and see all of God's potential manifest in your life. You've been given the perfect result in Christ. Now let's see that come into fruition. So Lord, we know the name of Jesus is worthy of honor and power and praise because it is the name that calls all to go from lost to being found, from death to life, to blind, that they can see and they can manifest such greatly the love and compassion that you have for us that we can now give unto others. Continue to work in us this day and every day forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.